Ken Trujillo, welcome to NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Tell us a little bit about your life.
Well, I've had a great, great opportunity here in Philadelphia. I grew up in the Southwest. I grew up in northern New Mexico and Colorado and came here in 1983. My family is a family of ranchers who've been in northern New Mexico since the late 1600s. My father was an evangelical minister before he died, and my mother primarily worked at home. She was mostly a homemaker, but occasionally would work as a nurse's aide at a hospital and in housekeeping. So when I was a kid, the churches my father was a minister in were very modest, and I was not the person you would expect to graduate from college, much less come to Philadelphia and go to law school and be seeking to be mayor. I grew up on food stamps. My family was the recipient of some of the government programs that keep homes and families together. But I was fortunate enough to have a loving family that encouraged me to try my dreams, and I did that. And that's what brought me to Philadelphia.
Okay. Went to law school. You had a career. Now, you've never run for public elected office before, right?
Not even student council.
So what experience do you have that qualifies you to be mayor?
Well, I think as I talk to people all around Philadelphia, one of the things I keep hearing over and over is that we need to change from the status quo. My life and my career, starting back in when I graduated from law school in 1986, has been one both of private and public service. As you know, I was an assistant United States attorney. I was the city solicitor of Philadelphia. Governor Rendell appointed me to a number of significant positions, including the Financial Oversight Board, PICA, Gaming Control Board. And at the same time, most of my career, though, has been with one foot both in government, a foot in private industry, but also a very significant dedication to the nonprofit community and to working with the poorest of Philadelphia. And that combination of experiences, together with what I've done as an entrepreneur, as I talk to people all around Philadelphia, I hear over and over that's exactly the kind of experience and the kind of background that we'd like to see in the next mayor.
The mayor runs an organization of 20,000 employees, a huge range of policy issues. You got to find a talented team. Have you ever kind of run anything big and had to manage that, had to pick the right people and make them accountable?
Absolutely. And in fact, a very significant part of my career has been, over the years, I've been asked over and over to come in and deal with broken organizations, whether they're nonprofits or businesses or the like.
Give us one example.
Perfect example. First, 1990, I was asked to join the board of Congresso. At the time, Congresso was a struggling nonprofit, had about $500,000 budget. I was at the U.S. Attorney's Office at the time, and one of the first things I had to do was fire the executive director and look for new leadership.
And that's Congreso de los Latinos Unidos. It's
correct.
It's a community service organization in North Philly.
Correct. Like I said, in 1990, it was small on a storefront on Girard and 8th. Street. And so I had to look for new leadership, and I identified somebody to lead Congresso. And as I presented her to the board objected to it. They thought, no, that's not a very, you know, this is somebody who doesn't have the kind of experience that of running a nonprofit. But over the years, this person became one of the best known leaders in our community. She ran Congresso, helped grow it to where it is today, became the head of DHS.
This is Alba Martinez.
Correct. And she became the CEO of United Way. Similarly, I was asked a few years later to take charge of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce in Philadelphia, which again was facing very significant financial difficulty on the verge of closing. And within a couple of years, I brought in new leadership. And today, it's actually been recognized as one of the chambers of the year in the United States. So over the years, I've had very significant experience in organizations. I was city solicitor. As city solicitor, similarly, I came into the law department. There were very significant issues in the law department at the time, and during the next couple of years while I served as city solicitor, I was able to not only work on enhancing the lives of our lawyers and all the employees there, but the Rendell administration had not completed the stadiums. We were able to do the stadiums. In the first 6 months, we had the stadiums that were completed on top of the stadiums. We had the Republican National Convention.
The deal to build the stadium. Stadiums.
Correct.
Complex financing arrangement that had
Correct.
To be done. Yeah.
And that was, again, leading hundreds of employees as well.
most people think fixing Philadelphia's public schools is going to be a huge issue in this campaign. When you announced, you said that we should get rid of the School Reform Commission. That's the five-member body that includes three appointees from the governor that currently manages the system. Why?
Well, and actually what I said was we needed to end the state takeover of education in Philadelphia. And my view, and I believe it's a view that's shared by many people in Philadelphia, is that we have not had ownership of our schools in Philadelphia. As you know, the SRC has its controlling membership and the chairman appointed by the governor. What we have now is a system in which Harrisburg really does not have the interests of our children in the first place in their heart. So in my view, the mayor has to have ownership, and that's what I want. I want to be responsible for the outcomes in our public school system, and that's one thing that's been missing ever since the state takeover.
So you'd like a board appointed by the mayor to be running the schools?
Well, I think we need to have a very significant discussion with all of the interest groups, including unions, parents, teachers, and the like, to see what the precise governance can be. But I think that whether it's a combination of a hybrid, whether it's appointed, however, whatever the conclusion is reached, because remember, it's not going to happen overnight. What has to happen is you have to set in motion a combination of things. Number one, funding. You have to make sure you have all the right leadership. You have to have legislation at the state level, at the local level. So what we have to have is we have to have the conditions under which the SRC, because the way that they go out of existence is that they vote themselves out of existence, so that the SRC has to feel that it's time, that we've reached a point in time and that we have a structure and the resources in place to change from the SRC control. That doesn't happen overnight. In my view, it doesn't have to be pure mayoral control, but you do, in my view, have to have the mayor with a very significant stake and ownership in education.
Whether the district is run by a board that's appointed by the mayor and the governor or some other structure, money's a big problem.
Money and resources are critical.
So how do we find them?
Well, there's a combination of things. Number one, first we have fortunately elected a governor who I think is going to lead not only a discussion, but I think is going to lead towards a funding formula that's going to be more fair to the children of Philadelphia.
Got to get it through a Republican legislature that's more conservative than the last.
Absolutely. Philadelphia has to do its part as well. The Philadelphia side of it, though, can't be a strategy of creating new taxes, declaring victory for passing a tobacco tax is not the strategy for full funding of education. What we have to do is we have to Philadelphia is the poorest of the 10 largest cities, so we have a poverty problem in Philadelphia. And the way we need to deal with that poverty problem is by growing in Philadelphia, growing revenue, growing jobs, and creating job opportunities, creating not just an atmosphere but an actual structural change to make sure that in Philadelphia we're growing jobs and attracting business. If we do that, what happens? You grow the revenue base. 53% of, for instance, our real estate taxes go to where? The school district. And so ultimately, we have to do is a combination of things. We have to make sure that we have a fair funding formula at the state level. But in Philadelphia, we have to create more revenue, more jobs, and somebody with a business background, somebody that understands business, somebody who's been an entrepreneur, in my view, is better prepared to lead that effort than somebody who's been a career politician.
A lot of people talk about creating jobs. Tell us how you'll be different, how you'll
make
it happen.
Well, I've created jobs. I've been creating jobs for the last 20 years, and I know as a small business person myself, firsthand, I tell people the following. When you have to meet payroll, that's a life-changing experience. And so what I've done, I just came now from the radio station that I started 3 years ago. We were having our Christmas party, our holiday party, we have to make payroll next week. And so what I do, the way you create jobs is the following. We have to have in Philadelphia a competitive place to do business. Business makes rational decisions. Business people will come in, and if we're putting business at a structural disadvantage, at a tax disadvantage, then they're not going to come to Philadelphia. So we have to deal with the structural issues over the long term in order to attract business.
So give us some examples. How do we make this a more competitive place for people to open businesses?
Oh, certainly. Let's start with taxes. 66% of the city revenues are a combination of the payroll tax and the business income receipts tax. If we had adopted the recommendation recommendations of the task force back in, I believe it was 2003, we'd have no business income receipts tax. That has to change. And the reason it has to change –
that would be shifting to property tax.
Shifting to property tax, because what happens with property tax? Property tax doesn't leave, whereas the payroll and the business income receipts tax, you know, a business can make the decision tomorrow that they're going to move to Montgomery County. And so we have to set in motion a process to change our tax structure so that it's more attractive to business. And why? Because not only is it more attractive to business, when you get business to locate in Philadelphia, it creates jobs, creates revenue, and that's ultimately how we are able to fund and fully fund our schools.
Are you telling all those struggling homeowners that Ken Trujillo is going to raise your property taxes?
No, it's not a raise of property tax. It's a raise of jobs. It's here. It's creating new business, and the more new businesses we create in Philadelphia, the more jobs we have, the more revenue we have, because so it's more. We have to build. We have to create revenue. We don't have to add new taxes.
Okay, but once the revenue grows, you're in a position to create more revenue. But to get there, are you saying we need to shift the tax base from business and payroll taxes to property taxes?
Yes,
and
we do.
And doesn't that mean raising property taxes, at least in the short run?
No, it does not. And in fact, when you look at the numbers, when you start looking at the numbers of what the amount of money that BIRT – and look, I'm not the only one suggesting this. This has been suggested by, as you know, Mayor Rendell, you know, Mayor Street over the years. And what has to happen and look, I think that over the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to have to deal with some of the structural issues that have been created over the last 50 years, because part of the reason we're in the issue that we're in with our schools right now. And remember, a child in Philadelphia is getting less than half spent on that child's education than most of the surrounding counties. So it fundamentally is a revenue issue. And part of that is our poverty. And the reason we have poverty is because we don't have enough business. And the reason we don't have enough business is because it is not only unfriendly, but financially it's a bad decision for a lot of companies to come to Philadelphia. If we don't change that, there's no way that we ever have a good outcome to our education system.
Okay. I hate to belabor this, but it seems to me that if the city needs revenue and you want to move from a payroll and business tax base to more of a property tax base, unless we have a lot less revenue coming in, I don't see how you do that without increasing property tax.
Here's how you do it. Remember, there's a couple of things that have happened over the last several years, and I give Mayor credit for moving on the AVI, on the Actual Value Initiative. Commercial real estate tax in Philadelphia, and commercial taxes are commercial real estate taxes is probably the best example of this. In Philadelphia, commercial real estate tax revenue has been flatlined for about 20 years, whereas and you're seeing in Center City the increase in residential values. But the value of commercial real estate has stayed flat. Why? Because there's not enough demand. If you create the demand, what happens? Business wants to locate in Philadelphia. If you have business wanting to locate in Philadelphia, that increases the value of the real estate. And then after creating the value of the real estate, then what happens? You collect more in terms of tax revenue from commercial real estate. So it doesn't require new taxes for homeowners. What it requires is a commitment to the reduction of BIRT and the payroll tax, and also it requires communicating that fact to business in a way that they understand that over the long haul, because again, business is not planning for 1 year. You know, they're entering leases for 10, 15, 30 years, and so they're making long-term plans. So business has to understand that the plans that are being made and the policies that are being implemented are plans that are going to put them in a position where they're going to make money over the long term.
You know, starting back in 1995, Mayor Rendell started making very gradual reductions in the city wage tax, long regarded as a burden on businesses. That was stopped. It may restart. I think it's at about 3.9% now, thereabouts.
For payroll tax.
Do you have a tag? Do you have a target? How much of a wage tax can the city carry?
Well, it depends on when, right? It's not a zero-sum game. So the payroll tax has to be reduced sufficiently so that it's not a disincentive for business to be here and for people to want to be in Philadelphia. So that number is not zero, because I don't think we'll ever get to zero. The goal has to be zero, but it's not ever going to get to zero. So it has to be a low enough number that it's material real that people feel it in their pocketbooks. You go back to, again, the Tax Reform Commission's recommendations. They were moving down towards a number around 2. If you were down close to that kind of number, I think you it starts to remove the disincentive to be in Philadelphia.
That's hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue.
It's more than hundreds of millions. It's over a billion. But the shift to real estate tax can absolutely offset that if we're growing business the way Philadelphia and comes back to what has to happen. We have to be growing business in Philadelphia.
One of the candidates in the race, Lynn Abraham, has publicly condemned city council for failing to hold a hearing on selling the Philadelphia Gas Works. Do you agree?
Well, look, I believe that transparency, and not only transparency, but a commitment to a predictable process is critical when a business is going to make a decision as to whether or not to come to Philadelphia. I'm disappointed that hearings were not held, and I think that if we engage in a process where we ask businesses to come in, invest money in trying to do business with the city of Philadelphia, we can't pull the rug out from under them. What we have to do is engage in a transparent process, a predictable process, and in my view, we did owe to the UIL the opportunity to have a full hearing.
I want to come back to schools for one more moment. Charter schools are a big issue here. A lot of parents think that there are better places to educate their kids. They have drained a lot of money from the traditional public schools. Where are you on that? Do we need more charters, fewer charters, different kinds of charters?
Well, I don't think it's a question of more or fewer charters. And first of all, I think that in my view, our first line of education has to be we have to support our District 1 schools. Why is that? Because most children are not in a position to make and their parents are not necessarily going to be in a position to make a shift or make a choice to go to one school or another, be it a charter. Most children are going to end up defaulting to the district-run school. So the district-run school has to be appropriately funded, and it can't be run in a way that it's being disadvantaged to the benefit of charter or any other type of school. So in my view, charter schools are certainly going to be part of the education system for the foreseeable future. So it's not a function of being anti or pro charter. It's a function of making sure that both of them are treated in a fair way. Charter schools have to be they have to be accountable. They have to be governed appropriately. I started a charter school in North Central Philadelphia. It's now one of the highest performing charter schools in Philadelphia, the Pan American Academy Charter School. But what we have there, and I'm no longer part of it, but you have appropriate leadership, you have appropriate resources, and you have appropriate governance. We have to make sure that charters or whether they're charters or district-run schools have the same principles.
In recent years, when the schools were in a financial crisis and the state wasn't bringing the extra money that the mayor thought was needed, Mayor Nutter and City Council enacted a number of property tax increases, a sales tax increase that was made permanent, and now a cigarette tax. Right move?
Well, my concern is that we don't have a plan for what education looks like over the next decade to two decades, right? There have been and I'm not going to fault the mayor or council for doing what they felt was necessary to make sure that schools were open in September. My view, though, is that we have to get away from that kind of a patchwork of fixes, last-minute fixes, and congratulating ourselves for passing new taxes. My view is that we have to look at the long term. You know, part of the experience I had on PICA, the Financial Oversight Board, is that we were doing it's a five-year plan for the city finances. That sort of discipline for business or for government, I think, is incredibly important. And so we have to plan out over the course of 5 to 10 years, at least, what our school system not only needs, but where it's going to be going. Business, government today has to plan not for this year or next year, but it has to plan out for the next 5 to 10 years. A lot of things that business and government can't control, but it has to be in a position where at least financially can plan for what it can afford and what revenues it will have.
There's a political question I have to ask you. A lot of people are wondering, you're a successful businessman, how much of your own money might you put into this campaign?
Well, I'm going to have the resources to win this race. I didn't get in this race to compete. I got in this race to win. And I think, as you know, I started working on this about over a year ago. I spent a lot of time doing this, but what I'm really focused on over and over is I've been spending so much time in West Philadelphia, North Philadelphia, talking to people, finding out what the issues are, what they're interested in, and in Philadelphia, over and over I hear we need different kind of leadership. We can't be with the status quo anymore, and I believe I'm that candidate.
A million? 2 million?
I'll have whatever's necessary to win.
Ken Trujillo, thanks so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.